We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to Duck Insider. Duck Insider.
Man, it feels great to be a Duck.
Give it to me, baby. My house. I'm taking it there.
Third competitors, they'll want to put the O on.
Three. Got it.
We're going to compete to a standard every day.
The Oregon standard.
Rebound. Tap it in. A point more to go.
The opportunity to play, put Oregon on your chest, should mean a great deal to you.
Unloads on one into left field. Back toward the wall. Goal.
This program is staged to compete and to win championships.
Oregon wins!
This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, let's talk Oregon athletics.
Oregon men's basketball with a nice win over Colorado last night. The Ducks trying to make it two in a row. And look, that's been a challenge. Oregon has yet to sweep a weekend in conference action. Got to make it two in a row. Got to get it done against Utah in the rematch with the Utes. And the Ducks sure were good against Utah and Salt Lake City when they played them a few weeks ago earlier this month. What's the key to stringing a few wins together? Well, I think there's a lot of things. Number one, it may come down to Infallidante. I don't have an update as we go on the air at 1 o'clock on Infallidante. I will probably hear a little bit from practice today. But truth be told, I'm going to Oregon baseball practice right after we get off the show today. First scrimmage of the year for Oregon baseball. The Ducks getting ready for February 17th, opening day at PK Park for Mark Wazikowski's team. So I'm actually heading to PK Park after we get off the air here in the Casanova Center today, if you're live with us in the 1 o'clock hour. So tomorrow at shoot-around, of course, I'll talk with Coach Altman, and we'll see how Infallidante is doing. If you missed the game last night, well, you missed a pretty good one, because the Ducks had some guys step up in Infallidante's absence. So let's set the scene for you. Infallidante and the Ducks go through warm-ups. In fact, it would have been the first time all year that the entire Oregon roster was in the official book. There were no crossouts on that roster. When Mark, the official scorer at Matthew Knight Arena, brings the sheet down and he goes, here you go, here's who's in the book, here's who's starting. No crossouts. And I was like, it's January 26th, and it seems like it's the first time that Oregon has caught a break. And then Infallidante ends up with a sleeve on his knee, and he tweaked it, he said, during the pregame warm-up. So late scratch from the starting lineup. Quincy Guerrier fills in, and I got to tell you, maybe Guerrier filling in the starting lineup gave him some of that boost that he needed, because he really boosted the Ducks toward the end of that game against Colorado last night. A 75-69 win over the Buffs, and now they get ready, the Ducks do, to take on a Utah team that is above them in the Pac-12 standings. And they just demolished Oregon State, 63-44. Wasn't a good day for the Beavs at Gill Coliseum. Yeah, Utah is the next opponent, 5 o'clock tomorrow. So some of the takeaways, though, from Oregon men's basketball in Colorado, we'll have updates on in Folly Dante. We're going to talk about that. Hear from Dane Altman, hear from Keyshawn Barthelemy and Nate Biddle. And I got to tell you, I think it was the Barthelemy and Biddle show in the first half. It really came down to a post presence, and Nate Biddle provided that for the Ducks. And then Keyshawn Barthelemy, I thought, really gave Oregon a boost shooting the ball. And he sort of just calmed things at times when Oregon needed a bucket. Ducks definitely need to work on their press offense. We'll get to that. But Will Richardson, who did not score in the first half, I thought took some significant strides in the second half. And it was odd. These are the things that when I was playing basketball, I never had to think about because I had one pair of shoes. But Will Richardson, I don't know if anyone noticed, he actually changed shoes at halftime. Did anybody notice that? The Ducks were in their gray uniforms, and he was in his gray shoes. He actually changed to his yellow shoes in the second half, and then he scored. Lucky pair of shoes? I don't know. I got to ask Will next time I see him. Like, are the yellows just the lucky shoes? Because if they are, then Will's got to wear the yellow shoes the rest of the way, right? I don't know. But maybe it made a difference. Maybe I'm overanalyzing. For all I know, he had a shoelace break. But he did change shoes, and it worked out well for the Ducks in the second half. Anyway, we'll go through some of the recap. Coach Altman, Barthelemy, Biddle, we'll hear from them. The standings, rankings, what it all means, to be honest with you. Oregon was 60 in the net. Let's just get this out of the way. Oregon was 60 in the net. Colorado was 64 in the net. Does a win really change things all that much? Not really. Oregon today is actually sitting at 61 in the net, and Colorado is sitting at 63 in the net. Well, Utah Valley lost. So things adjust the way that, yeah, things move around. The point is that these were two very similar teams, and the fact that Oregon was able to split with Colorado, this is now, I think, a storyline that I will come back to when we're having a conversation in Las Vegas. Because if Oregon is successful maybe against Colorado in Las Vegas, you say, well, you won the season series, and once everyone was healthy, the Ducks got it done against Colorado a couple times. Because let's review that. 3 weeks ago, Oregon's in Boulder. They lost by 27 points. Ugh. Coach McKenna said that it was Oregon's worst performance of the year. Keyshawn Barthelemy wasn't yet playing in that game. Keyshawn Barthelemy gives the Ducks 10 points at home. Oregon ends up winning. There's a lot of games that Oregon, I think, has blackened their resume in terms of they've lost, and it's a black eye to the resume. You know what I'm saying? Well, with that in mind, avenging the Colorado loss makes a difference. Maybe Oregon can avenge the Stanford loss later in the year. Maybe the Ducks can avenge the Arizona State loss just next weekend. If the Ducks are able to do that, you got to think that the committee is going to go, well, Oregon's healthy now. And here's something that I am fascinated by just in the bigger picture for a moment, okay? The assignment from the College Football Playoff Committee has always been the best teams, right? They want the best four teams. Now, sometimes, and I think that this has even been shown with some evidence of who gets selected, it depends on what you do at the end of the year. You always hear the phrase body of work, but then if you lose your last two games of the year, that impacts things, right? And does it change if you have a big injury? I think it does. Does the basketball selection committee review every team like that? I don't know. I'm going to have to ask a couple people that have been on various committees. But I got to feel like that if Oregon's resume is bubble worthy, maybe the Ducks get the nod because in the beginning of the season, they didn't have everybody healthy. So I've said this before. I've said it on the show before. You're probably tired of me saying this on the show by now. But the tournament doesn't start today. If it did, Oregon's not in. But if the tournament starts in March, it is called March Madness after all, maybe the resume looks a little different. Now, you got to take care of business. You got to keep winning games. And I do think that this is a critical stretch. And I said going into the season that Oregon's resume would be determined from January 14th. That was when the Ducks played Arizona. I thought that the resume and maybe where the Ducks would end up during the season would be from January 14th until February 11th. February 11th is when Oregon plays UCLA at home. And I said this when Oregon lost to UCLA in Westwood in December. What the team was then is not what the team will be in February. So let's compare and contrast at that point. But that stretch where Oregon plays Arizona twice, they'll play Arizona State on the road, taking care of business at home against Colorado and Utah, and then you're back at home against USC, who's red hot, just beat UCLA last night, and then UCLA at home. I feel like that's when the season, you'll know what the season is at that point, right? I thought that coming into the year, and I still think that now. Now the Ducks got to take care of business here down the stretch. And in this game against Colorado, 75-69, the Ducks shot 49%. 49% is a lot better than their season average by about 5-6 percentage points. Ducks also shot 37% from three. They were 7-for-19. A little better than their season average. And now four straight games, they've shot pretty well at the free throw line. 80%, 16-for-20. Colorado shot 93% at the free throw line. All of them were in the second half, by the way. They did not shoot a free throw in the first half. Colorado was the worst team in the conference coming in free throw percentage. I mean, I don't understand it. Like, it is just, Kevin McKenna said mind-boggling. I think it's ridiculous at this point how good teams are shooting free throws against Oregon. So, what is it? I was talking to Adam Rittenberg about this on Pac-12 Radio this morning. Like, do you got to talk more trash at the free throw line? Like, what do you do? What's the coaching answer to that? Is it just, well, chalk it up to bad luck? Are you fouling the wrong guys? I mean, I don't know. Like, I got nothing. In any case, though, Oregon did win the rebounding battle. They were plus four on the glass. And I thought there were a couple key things in this game. One, Will Richardson really weathered the storm, I thought, in the second half. He had six assists. He's second in the league in assists per game, playing at an all-Pac-12 caliber level. And then Quincy Guerrier really finished the game strong with 16 points, and he had six rebounds. And Nate Biddle had a double-double, 11 points, 13 rebounds. He did have three fouls, and I've said this about Biddle in the past. He's gotten himself in foul trouble a lot in his career, and I think that's limited his minutes and, as a result, probably limited his development. He's got to stay out of foul trouble. I don't want to criticize the officials because I would never want to be one. It's a thankless job. I don't have the personality to do it. When they called the technical, though, on him hanging on the rim, I felt like that was just another tough break for Oregon. Like, regardless of if you agree with the call or not, it's like, Biddle's having a great game, and that gives him a third foul, and he ends up having to exit the game as a result. It was like, man, can Oregon just catch a break here? That's how I was feeling at that point, especially without Dante. But nonetheless, Biddle was really good, and then Barthelemy, I thought, was great early. He shot 5-of-7 from the floor, hit that big three. So it was the Barthelemy and Biddle party early. Nate Biddle, I should also say, had four blocks in the game. I feel like his defense, going straight up and down in particular, he really bothered the Buffs. And when you've got the frame that Biddle has, it's all you got to do, right? That's the coaching part of it, is if he just goes straight up, he's going to really bother people because he's 7 feet tall. I also want to point out that momentum in basketball, game of runs, we've all heard these phrases. The Ducks never gave up the lead in the second half. Even when Colorado went on that 9-0 run, the press really gave the Ducks trouble. Brennan Rigsby, I'm sure, some possessions he'd like back. Colorado went on a 9-0 run to get within two, but the Ducks held them off. They never relinquished the lead. Then Colorado ultimately got within one in the second half, but the Ducks never gave up the lead. And a big reason why, the Ducks hit 10 of 11 free throws to finish the game. Coach Altman talks about how it's not a complicated game. You rebound, you hit shots, you know your scouting report defensively, and you do the fundamental things like hit your free throws. Against Stanford, even though that was a bad game, Oregon missed two front ends of one and ones that could have put the Ducks right back in that game, would have put them in a great spot against Stanford. They didn't hit the free throws. In this game, they hit free throws down the stretch. And ultimately, that was a big reason why I thought the Ducks were able to close out the ballgame. Some of the Pac-12 research group notes for you. I want to point this out, and it's something that I'm not going to say to Coach Altman, maybe even post-game, but I know that Coach Altman isn't listening to Duck Insider because they're at practice right now. That was the 149th career conference win for Dana Altman. He's one away from becoming the 11th head coach in Pac-12, Pac-10, Pac-8 conference history to get to 150 league wins. That's elite company. Elite company. Ducks are also 8-2 at home against Colorado in the Pac-12 era. Didn't like losing to them at home last year. So good to see that. Ducks are also now 11-1 when they shoot at least 44%. That doesn't surprise me because when Oregon's hit shots, they've had more energy. It certainly adds to your energy and your intensity when you're hitting shots. But the numbers still back it up that when Oregon is hitting shots, this team rebounds well enough that they're going to win some games. The Ducks are 1-8 when they shoot under 44%. Well, like Coach Altman says, sometimes it's not that complicated of a contest, not that complicated of a game. Overall, though, the Ducks are now 11-1 when leading at halftime as well, and they led 32-26 at the half. And I thought the subtle, maybe not subtle, that might be the wrong word. I thought one of maybe the more overlooked plays in the game was Jermaine Cousinard sort of asserted himself at the end of the half, didn't he? So Cousinard ends up finishing with 8 points. He was 4-4 at the line, and he was only 2-8 overall from the floor. But the Ducks cleared out, went for the final shot, and he just got to the basket. Made it look pretty easy. That's how the Ducks finished the half. Felt like they had some momentum going into halftime because of that play from Cousinard. All in all, Ducks got the win. When we come back, we're going to hear from Dane Altman, going to hear from Keyshawn Bartholomew and Nate Biddle. Also, women's basketball tonight, Kelly Graves and Taya Hansen talking about the matchup with Cal at 7 o'clock, 6:30 pregame with Terry Johns here this evening. We're back after this on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Dear winner, Toyota's got 20 vehicles with available all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive, and that's more than any other auto brand. So you bring the action, and we'll bring the traction. Always Toyota. Toyota, let's go places.
Based on manufacturers' websites as of 11/21/22. Hey, Duck fans. We're all about protecting our home turf here in Eugene. You should do the same for your home with Country Financial Insurance. Most home insurance doesn't account for inflation, but with Country Financial, yours can. If something happens to your home, make sure you can rebuild the same house in the same place. Call a local representative or 866-COUNTRY and get a solid defense for your home. Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois. Property must meet age and condition requirements, which vary by state.
Dear Winter, Toyota's got 20 vehicles with available all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive, and that's more than any other auto brand. So you bring the action, and we'll bring the traction. Always Toyota. Toyota, let's go places.
Based on manufacturer's websites as of 11/21/22.
Don't go anywhere. Duck Insider continues after these messages on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Through your children's eyes to see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating world.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
Back inside the Country Financial Studio, Duck Insider is presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Oregon men's basketball now getting ready for 5 o'clock tomorrow. Pac-12 Network's got the TV broadcast for the Ducks hosting the Utes, and I'll have a 4:30 pregame show here on the Oregon Sports Network. More updates on Infali Dante at that point. Let's hear from Dane Altman. What are his thoughts post-game after getting it done against Colorado?
That kind of output from Nate to get it and to see it.
Oh, it's great. I mean, when they came in and told me that Dante got hurt warming up, you know, I'm like, all right, you know, and challenged Nate, and he did a great job. I thought he and Quincy stepped up. Nate with 13 rebounds. Quincy got 6, but he kept a couple alive for us. And Nate with the 4 block shots. He led us in deflections. So he led us in rebounds, deflections, block shots. His activity, was really good. Swears he didn't say nothing on the technical, just rejoiced. But other than that, you know, I just thought he did a great job.
Coming off the foot injury, being the starting lineup the last 4 games now, his play has been better, and his shooting percentage is good. What does this start to look like over the next month, Dan, in terms of if he can keep this going and what that changes for you?
Well, you know, just his activity there, you know, really helped us. But I tell you what it shows is, you know, if he works at it, his potential, you know, if he builds his body and – because he has a nice touch, his instincts are good. He's so long, but he's got a lot of work to do in the weight room. But just right now, just playing hard and using that length, you know, really was the factor tonight. Again, with the deflections and the 4 blocks, Colorado's really good at the rim. You know, you look at their stats, and I thought Nate challenged. Not only did he block 4, but he challenged a lot more. And really got over there and helped. So there's no doubt without his performance tonight, you know, we don't get it done. He was really good. And, you know, Keyshawn stepped up and hit some shots. Quincy stepped up and hit some shots. But Nate was the determining factor.
You challenged Nate. And Quincy, you mentioned the other day, I think maybe not taking too many threes. He got the rim a few times tonight. You feel like some buttons you've been trying to push lately, you got through this, guys?
Well, I'm not making any bold predictions, but I, you know, it's good to see them, you know, play to their strengths a little bit. You know, Quincy takes 11 shots, and 8 of them are inside the three, rather than 8 threes and 3 inside. You know, you've got to make decisions, you know, and he used his athleticism. He got to the rim, shot a couple free throws. So, you know, I hope that he sees that, he feels it, and we'll definitely show him film tomorrow, you know, to show him what he did. And same way with Nate, sliding over, you know, leaving his man to go help his teammates. And we had a few real nice crackdowns when they did rotate over. Colorado went small on us, which gave us some problems. They did the same thing at their place, which gave us some problems. But, they only shot 36% from the field. Them and us are the two worst free throw shooting teams in the league, and they shoot 92%, and we shoot 80. So we both shot a lot better than what we've been shooting at.
A couple times they got the lead down to one possession, sometimes even 1 point. You guys were able to build things back up. Do you feel like it was just the difference for you?
Well, I think it was a 2 point, 57-55. I think Will got to the rim a couple times. You know, our turnovers, it looked like we've never seen in press. You know, guys really stand straight up and down, weren't moving very well. We didn't execute there. But, I can't remember the exact sequence, but I know it was 57-55. I think Will got a couple buckets. Luke Ward got a couple big ones somewhere in there. Again, I don't know the exact. But they did get it down to two, and we did hit free throws. You know, Waldo missed one, but Tremaine went 4 for 4, and, you know, we finished there.
What is the status of Dante?
Don't know. He tweaked a knee, you know, in warm-ups. So I'm sure they'll check him out tomorrow. And Dante's a tough young man. If he can go, he'll go. You know, I don't have any doubts about that.
Is that the knee he had?
I don't even know. I don't even know which one it was. I'll have to check. I didn't see. You know, I was giving him a hard time before. You know, clumsy tripping in layup line, probably not a good way to start. So, but, you know, I didn't even check with Clay or anything. I'm sure they'll do some tests yet tonight or tomorrow morning.
What, 3 out of 4 now? Is there any sense of kind of overall momentum, big picture momentum?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I'm going to have to check their temperature. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what I think. It kind of matters what they think. And but this was a big game. Just simply, if Colorado was swept us, you know, tiebreakers and everything else, we just got to play the games as they come and try to finish as high as we can, do the best we can. You know, we've got 10 games in. We're halfway through, 6-4. We're going to have to do better in the second half. But we've got everybody who's ahead of us, so we have our chance. We got to get better. We got to play better. We got to be tougher. But everybody that's ahead of us, we play yet, so we'll have our opportunities.
You talked to one of those teams, they're second in the conference, too. Just your thoughts on the rematch of them, what they've been doing since we played them.
Well, I'm sure they'll be fired up. You know, we got them at their place, and I'm sure they'll be ready to go. If they get the threes going, if they get you on the boards, you know, that's been a determining factor for them. When they rebound, they're really tough to beat. So we're going to have to get them on the boards and locate their three-point shooters. But we'll have a tough game at 5 o'clock on Saturday. I don't have any doubts about that. If they win tonight, USC beat UCLA, I heard. So if they win tonight, they'll be half a game behind UCLA, you know, out of first. So they'll come in here really fired up, and we're going to have to play really good.
Stylistically, Dan, because go back like 4 years ago, you guys got that run together. You started the lineup-wise, things started to click. Is that, stylistically, is this sort of the model? The sticking true to the tenets of, you know, defense and keep it under 40 and
may not be the sexiest if you can't necessarily get the three-point shooting there and the offense going, but if this is the way, if this is the model to do this over the next 10 games to have that success, is this the way it's going to happen?
It's always been the model. I think we talked about it last time. We hold somebody under 70, we win 90% of the time. We out-rebound somebody, we win 90% of the time. It's like I said, it's not rocket science. We've got to play hard. We've got to out-rebound people. We turn the boards. We out-rebound them four. We got out-rebounded 18 at their place. We had 36 deflections tonight at their place. We didn't even get to 20. So it's just different team here tonight. And so we're going to have to really take it to another level against Utah. We're going to have to beat them on the boards. Have to be more physical. Have to really guard because they can really score. So it will be, got a tough stretch coming up here with them and Arizona schools. And so it's one game at a time and try to get Dante healthy and go swing away.
You talked about Quincy staying ready, even though he's moved to the bench after actually talked about that. Why do you think he was able to come in this spot and produce such a good game?
Because I think, he was thinking about that. He knew that he really wasn't playing well. He got that first shot down against their zone, got to the boards a little bit, mentioned the drives, the post-ups. So he stayed ready, and that's what you expect. He's a good young man. He's a talented kid. You expect him to stay ready, and he did. And again, like Luke Ward, hadn't been playing much, but I thought he gave us some really good minutes. So, guys are going to have to stay ready and do what they can to help us.
I really agree with that. Luke Ward was excellent at times for the Ducks. He's been solid in terms of rebounding the ball, guarding. I think he has really filled in for the Ducks well at times this season. That's Dane Altman, brought to you by the Moyant Valley Cancer Institute and Research Center. Fight like a duck with exceptional cancer care close to home. And when we come back, Nate Biddle, Keyshawn Barthelemy. Big reason why the Ducks were victorious last night. Heading into tomorrow's matchup with Utah, hear from those student-athletes on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
At Shadow Hills Country Club, our all-inclusive event pricing allows us to take care of all of the details while you enjoy your event. Our wedding garden, expansive grounds, ballroom, and meeting rooms can accommodate any size event and come complete with full catering and service staff. From weddings to business and social events, Shadow Hills offers the benefits of a resort atmosphere and the peace of a country setting just minutes from downtown Eugene. For more details, call us today or go to shadowhillsevents.com.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union, onpointcu.com. Federally insured by NCUA, equal housing opportunity.
Duck Insider, Duck Insider, Duck Insider continues after this timeout on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
This is an important message from the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Mining fatalities, accidents, and injuries are preventable. Taking a minute to approach your task safely can protect you and your fellow miners from injury and death. Staying alert and focused can keep you safe. Do it safe. Do it right. Whether buckling a seatbelt or securing equipment, these quick safety measures can prevent injuries and fatalities. Take time. Save lives. For more resources, visit MSHA.gov.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us.
We go through safety training and try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to FarmSafe811.org.
Back back inside the Country Financial Studio. It's Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. So UCLA 8-2 in conference, Utah 8-3 in conference, Arizona and USC are 7-3 in league, and then it's Arizona State and Oregon at 6-4. So what that tells you is Ducks got to get it done against Utah. If they do, Utah would be 8-4, and then the Ducks would be 7-4. They'd be a half game behind them. So we'll see what happens here down the stretch. But the Ducks still have games against everybody who's above them in the standings. Halfway through, they're 6-4. I think probably need to go like 8-2 down the stretch. If Oregon does that, I think you're happy with 14-6 with all the injuries the Ducks have dealt with, aren't you? Well, two big keys, though. Going to be Keyshawn Barthelemy and Nate Biddle. And they met with the media postgame after the win over Colorado, and they got you ready a little bit for tomorrow's 5 o'clock matchup with Utah.
We went in after a little shoot-around out there on the court before the game, and then coach just had said that Fale wasn't going to be playing, and then I got to step up and take part of his role. And, I mean, the team contributed and helped a lot. And I think we had some players from the bench that stepped up and played great minutes for us.
Hey, there's a stretch there about halfway through the first where he hits a three, you hit a three, and then you go down and you draw a defensive charge. You feel like that was the turning point in the game for you to get your kick started?
Yeah, for sure. And then also turning on the rebounds. We was down on the boards there for a little bit, and then we ended up team rebounding, and then we went up on the boards, and I think that's when we made our little push. So it was really just a big team win.
And your play just in general has gone up lately. Do you feel like the game is getting easier for you? Things are slowing down?
Yeah, for sure. The game is just slowing down, and I'm just getting more comfortable out there. So.
What do you attribute that to?
I mean, just I think coach is helping me get some confidence on the court, and I think just a big key, and a lot of that is just confidence that I've built up spending time in the gym and stuff like that, so.
Keyshawn, you were motivated to try to get that one?
Yeah, I was definitely motivated, but I'm motivated every game, and we took that game plan seriously, and we executed, and we came up with a win.
How do you feel like you're meshing with this team right now? You feel like you've got a few games under your belt, you're really good in the rhythm with everyone?
Yeah, I mean, I love the role that I have for this team, coming off the bench and just bringing a different like dynamic to the team, and the guys support me in that role. The coaches support me in that role, and I'm embracing it. So that's all that matters. And we got the win tonight, and we move on to the next one.
Hey, how much of the improved confidence is also just the confidence in the foot and coming off the injury?
I mean, my foot feels great now. I haven't had any problems with it at all, so my foot feels fine. I think just being able to cut and move off of it the way that I was able to before has helped a lot too. So
tonight it all feels like this was an overdue thing for you between both minutes and points and rebound.
Yeah, for sure.
All these things.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't want to take nothing. I mean, our team just played crazy tonight. We knew what we had to do tonight, and we came out and did what we got to do, and, you know, we just got to keep building.
Nate, you went back out there with three fouls with, I think, it was around 10 minutes left in the second half. How do you kind of avoid taking up a fourth or fifth there with it?
I mean, just go out there, and I just – coach told me I couldn't foul. I got to just contest shots to the best of my ability, even if I can't block them. Just my length is able to change shots around the rim, even if I can't get my hand on it and stuff like that. So he just told me to go out there, protect our paint, help our guards. So, I mean, we did a good job of that.
Keisha, do you feel like you might see more press going forward until you can break it?
I mean, looking at that film, other teams are probably going to be salivating over that, and they're going to want to press us. But, I mean, I feel like we got good experienced guards, and we just got to get open and be strong with the ball, and we'll be all right.
Keyshawn, you talk in practice about, like, executing the little things to stay consistent. Do you feel like you guys did that tonight?
We definitely did that. I mean, the rebounding edge that we had, and I feel like we guarded pretty well in the first half, and then the second half we kind of had, like, little hiccups here and there, but we definitely did the little things, diving on loose balls. Making free throws was also, I think it's a little thing that we did at the end of the game, and we came up with the win with that.
You know, I know the game in Boulder got away from you guys a little bit. This is really for both of you, so I'm sorry, Will. But the game in Boulder got away from you guys a little bit, but when you look at where this team is now versus earlier in the month, like, how much growth do you see? And the growth has kind of been a little up and down this year. How have you guys kind of ridden kind of those waves?
Well, I think in that Boulder game, we weren't like full squad just yet. Like Jermaine was, it was his first game back. Nate as well, I think it was his first game back. I wasn't even playing yet. So the growth definitely came with the players that we've had back. And also the coaching staff has done a good job of putting confidence into us and putting us in positions to be successful. And we're kind of leaning towards that and where we're executing.
I mean, I think everybody on our team is starting to find their role and buying into their role. There's not a person on our team that hasn't really bought into their role and know if they get in, if they get a couple minutes here and there, what they got to do when they go in, they know what they got to do at this point in the season. And I think our whole team is just bought into what we got to do. So, I mean, it's good for our team.
From a big picture perspective, how do you guys don't look ahead? And your guys' margin for error right now is really thin. How do you stay in the moment and manage that without looking ahead?
Well, speaking of looking ahead, I feel like that's what we did last trip, right, against Stanford, where we were looking ahead to Colorado and Utah and not taking care of Stanford. And this Saturday's game against Utah is going to be a big one. And if we just got to take care of that game and take it day by day, and that's what good teams do.
Saturday against Stanford was kind of like a learning moment for you?
It was definitely a learning moment for us to not take any games lightly and to not look forward to any other games that we have on our schedule, because every game is the biggest game of the year in that moment for us. So,
Sean, what was the key on defense tonight? You guys held Pac-12 second leading scorer, Kade Simpson, to only 8 points. What was the key going in tonight?
I mean, he's a tough check. I mean, he can do a lot of things out there for their team, but we bought in defensively to the game plan, and we corralled him, and we did a lot of good things. It was definitely a team effort from everybody, 1 through 15. So,
Nate, how do you put it in perspective what you saw from Quincy tonight? I mean, he had the late notice that he was starting. I think you had a really good game from him.
Yeah, that's just Q for real. Like, I love Q. He brings the energy. He doesn't care what his role is. He just want to win. Like, I think that's for our whole team at this point. Like, our whole team is really bought into just wanting to win. Like, and Quincy has done a great job of that. He's one of our leaders on our team. He's been in college basketball probably one of the longest on our team, and he has that experience, and he uses his voice to help us and, like, overcome adversity and stuff like that. So Q had a great game tonight.
Hey, take your time, bro. Your time, bro.
I'm straight.
Nick, when do you feel like that clicked? Like, this team's chemistry buying into their role? When do you feel like that happened?
I honestly don't know when it exactly happened, but, like, over time, I've been able to, like, slowly feel the team chemistry and everybody starting to bond together just slowly over time, probably since, I don't know, when do you think?
I would say, like, this week we had a really good week of practice. Like Monday, Tuesday were really good days. Wednesday was more of a lighter day. But this week it started with the week of practice that we had, and we kind of rode the momentum into today's game. So I would say that's probably when it like started.
In Colorado, your team got out rebounded, you got out toward the paint. You're facing again tonight, and then you find out Paulie can't play. Mm-hmm. What was it like to watch Nate and the other guys step up and turn what was a negative into a positive for you guys?
Well, I think, Nate was ready to play. Like, I told him before we came here, like, this is probably the best game I've ever seen him play, and he needs to keep doing the little things and rebound, deflections, all the little things that he did tonight past the, what you had, 13 rebounds? Like, those you keep doing the little things, we'll be fine. So I'm really proud of Nate.
Nate, when you know that technical was called, how do you kind of deal with that in the moment and not let it get to you as the game goes along?
I don't really know how to answer that question, but I mean, it happened. You just got to forget about it and bounce back from. I mean, it's something that I can't control, so you just got to bounce back from stuff that you can't control. And I mean, I don't really know how to answer that question for real. So,
what's the I guess the keys for you guys against Utah on Saturday?
Well, our coaching staff gave us a good little information. They said that Utah hasn't lost a league game when they win the rebounding edge. And all the games that they've lost, they lost the rebounding edge. So I think we have the answers to the test, and we just have to execute it.
And one of those games that Utah lost, Oregon. And the Ducks out-rebounded them in that contest. Nate Biddle and Keyshawn Barthelemy talking with the media. Men's basketball, 5 o'clock on Saturday at Matthew Knight Arena. We'll see you at MKA. When we come back, our Toyota Women's Sports Spotlight, this weekend, women's basketball, tough road trip. Similar to Oregon men's basketball, trying to sweep a weekend. It's tough when you play Cal and Stanford. More coming up on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Hey, Duck fans. The official 2022 Oregon football trading cards are now available exclusively at your local Oregon Jackson's food stores. The cards feature over 100 of your favorite Duck football student-athletes from the 2022 season. Each pack contains 14 cards, and one out of every 10 packs will contain a special edition signed card. So be sure to collect them all to complete your set. Visit Jackson's.com for store locations.
Jackson's. Let's go.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union, onpointcu.com. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Duck Insider, your home for the latest news on Oregon athletics on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Question, what will you find on all over-the-counter or OTC medicine packages to help you choose the right drug and use it safely? The answer, the Drug Facts label. This label lists the medicine's active ingredients and purpose, how much to take, and warnings you should know before using it. Remember, even OTC medicines you buy without a prescription can cause side effects you don't want. So follow the information listed on the Drug Facts label. For more information, visit fda.gov/drugfactslabel. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Some of the best sounds you'll ever hear are generic. Safe. Effective. Even money-saving, just like FDA-approved generic drugs. Even if they don't come in the exact same color or shape as their brand name equivalents, they have the same key ingredients and go through a rigorous review process. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today and visit fda.gov/generic drugs. Generics are safe, effective, and can save you money. You'll like the sound of that.
Back on Duck Insider, presented by OnPoint Community Credit Union in the Country Financial Studio. I'm Joey Mack. It is time for the Toto Women's Sports Schedule Spotlight. Women's basketball tonight. Look, the biggest takeaway that I've got from everything I've heard, I was at women's basketball practice on Thursday morning before they traveled to Berkeley. 7 o'clock tip-off tonight, 6:30 pregame show with Terry Johns on the Oregon Sports Network. Biggest takeaway is that Cal is a very different team now than they've been maybe in years past. They're playing harder, seem to be a little more talented. I think this is a test for the Ducks. You can't look ahead to the 1 o'clock game at Stanford. Stanford's one of the best teams in the country again. They're still Stanford. I think Cal tonight, Ducks need a good performance. Kelly Graves meeting with the media, previewing this Pac-12 matchup at 7 o'clock this evening.
Kay was pretty matter-of-fact about the goal tomorrow. She said, we want to start well. Is that among the main things?
Finish well. Play a little bit better in the middle. Yeah, we've just got to, I think, just play better. More consistent, can't have the lulls that we seem to have each and every game, and then we make a valiant comeback and give ourselves a chance late. So yeah, it's the beginning, it's the middle, and it's the end.
Recently, you know, you guys aren't the hunted anymore. You have to be hunters. Jay made it sound like players are kind of holding each other accountable a little bit more. And are you seeing the attitude maybe you wanted to see emerge in terms of, you know, going out there and attacking it?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely the hunters now. Yeah, there's no question about that. I think Taya got that right. Yesterday's practice and today's practice were pretty good, and the intensity level was good. Yes, they are holding each other accountable a little bit better, which we have to do. We should be doing all the time anyway. But, we've just got to see a little bit of success. I mean, let's face it. It was one possession game at Arizona, loss. A one possession game against Washington State, and we lost. The one possession game the other night at Oregon State. We could easily be standing here 7-1. We're not. We're 4-4. So we got to find a way to pull these games out.
Is there maybe an understanding of kind of the urgency that is required now? I mean, I don't know when to say that they didn't understand it before, but just the season's only 10 games more and all that.
Yeah, that's a great question. There are times when it appears we're not playing with the same kind of urgency. And it comes from the coaches as well. I mean, we've just all got to be a little bit better. And you would like to think that they understand that. But
until they actually go through it and see it. You know, I haven't been in this situation, to be honest with you. I mean, we've, you know, since I've been here, we were either making the climb up into the top or we were at the top and or near the top. And we're just not there right now. So we've you know, as a coaching staff, we've also got to figure it out. Hey, what are we doing that we can do better? You know, that we're not doing, and relay that to the players. But in the end, yes, we all have to play with a sense of urgency.
I don't know, it's not quite the same as like a bye week, but you guys did have an extra couple of days there because you only played one last week. Does that maybe help in terms of giving you some time? Taya said it was helped to kind of refocus the bodies, but more than that, just the mental part.
Yeah, I like that we've changed to playing your travel partner just once during the season, and you have a few extra days off. So we played Friday night and gave the team Saturday and Sunday off. They don't normally get, you know, one of the things that gets lost for a few months, they don't get a day off because we're always playing on Sundays. And, you know, so the day we do take off is Tuesday each week. Well, they're still going to class and they still have the other thing. So I think that break hopefully, you know, did us good. Like I said, I thought we practiced well on Monday. We practiced well on Wednesday and we practiced well today.
And just knowing that some of the players just have been a little bit banged up. How good was it for their bodies to kind of get some extra rest going into this weekend specifically?
Yeah, well, that's another benefit of having just the single game. You do have a chance to rest up and heal your bodies. Everybody's kind of beat up right now. I mean, that's just, you know, it's the nature of a long season. You just have to put that past us, but I think we're relatively healthy. So that part makes me feel good.
Like so many teams in this conference, seems like Cal's taking a big step this offseason, year two under her. What do you kind of see from them and kind of the challenges they maybe present now?
Yeah, this is the best Cal team that Charmin's had, in my opinion. I mean, she could speak to it better than I can, but, you know, they've done well in the transfer portal. I think Peanut was a great pickup out of Colorado because she's just a solid player and is a winner, and I know she kind of anchors that defense. Kemri Martin, really good pickup at Utah, you know, great catch-and-shoot player. And then, you know, the transfer from San Francisco gives them some inside depth. But it's still McIntosh. It's still Jada Curry. Those guys are what makes that team go. And, yeah, this is, like I said, it's a really talented Cal team.
How do they maybe put stress on your defense? I know that sounds like from Taya, one of the big focal points this week was kind of improving there, finding some solutions. What do they do that makes it tough?
Well, they put pressure on you. You know, 94 feet. I mean, the shot goes up, they leave. I mean, they really push it well. And then their guard play is really good. They've got some knockdown shooters. You know, in fact, their starting lineup, you've got to guard every one of them for the three-point shot. You can't play off anybody. And we've, you know, there have been teams that we've played where you can kind of lay off camp on these guys. So they put pressure on you constantly. They're really good in the pick and roll. And then they've got a couple of beasts on the board. You know, Agunny is she's an incredible rebounder. Number 24, I'm really bad with names. But, I watch them a million times. They can really crash the board. So we've got our work cut out for us. You know, this is going to be a tough road trip.
I think it is going to be a tough road trip. Kelly Graves meeting with the media, previewing the matchup against Cal tonight and then Stanford 1 o'clock on Sunday. Every time we talk with a head coach, it's brought to you by the Willamette Valley Cancer Institute and Research Center. Fight like a duck with cancer care close to home. Quick timeout. When we come back, let's hear a little bit from Taya Hansen, finishing up the week, previewing Oregon women's basketball and the rest of the weekend in Oregon Athletics here on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Dear winter, Toyota's got 20 vehicles with available all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive, and that's more than any other auto brand. So you bring the action, and we'll bring the traction. Always Toyota. Toyota, let's go places.
Based on manufacturer's websites as of 11/21/22.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student-athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Dear winter, Toyota's got 20 vehicles with available all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive, and that's more than any other auto brand.
where you bring the action and we'll bring the traction. Always Toyota. Toyota, let's go places.
Based on manufacturer's websites as of 11/21/22.
This is Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield.
Unused prescription opioid pain medicines can spell trouble. They can spell risk if taken by someone they weren't prescribed for. Harm if accidentally taken by a child or pet. Or overdose if they're not used as directed. Safely dispose of opioids before they can hurt your family. Find a drug take-back option such as medicine drop boxes. You may find these in your community, at local pharmacies or police stations. Visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Finish it up, Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. We're in the Country Financial Studio. Busy weekend for Oregon Athletics, and it begins, well, really today. Oregon Track and Field's in action in a couple different places, one in Lubbock and another up in Seattle. Some multi-events and everything else, for the most part, going on up in Seattle. So the Ducks with indoor track and field. Full recaps available each day from Zach Lawson on GoDucks.com. Oregon men's and women's tennis are also in action. We got men's golf, if you can believe it, coming up starting on Monday. Yes, we're back. The spring sports getting rolling. Meanwhile, women's basketball tonight, 7 o'clock. I want to let you listen a little bit to Taya Hansen. She didn't mince words. Ducks need to play better. Maybe need to start a little bit quicker. Maybe that's big key tonight, 7 o'clock against Cal. Taya Hansen previewing the women's basketball matchup.
Biggest keys to getting off to a good start and then being able to sustain that.
Yeah. Like you said, we have to get off to a good start, and that's the biggest thing that we've struggled with the last few games, or I mean this whole entire season, is that strong first start. And I think it starts with our defense. I mean, when we are aggressive on the ball, in our press, just flying around everywhere, we look so good, and we're really really hard to go up against, and then our offense is generated from that. So I think it starts with our defense with that one.
You feel confident that there's going to be improvements made, and maybe what it's kind of a weird, you get almost an extended break here to kind of work on some things. You feel good about maybe the time that you've spent here?
Mm-hmm. We've had some good time to just like rest our bodies because, I mean, we've been going nonstop for a couple months here. So that extra few days to just recover, but then to also really have a good practice on Monday, because that's normally like our a little bit of a rest, shooting, review some stuff, watch film. But we really got down on it on Monday and worked on our defense. So that was good preparation for what's next for us.
Was that what stood out most when you put on the OSU tape?
Yeah, we just got to take care of the little things and not dig ourselves a hole. Because we know our offense is going to come. Like we're a very talented team when it comes to offense. And when we get stops defensively, limit teams to one shot, I mean, we're unstoppable going down the other end.
This is a road trip where some years when Stanford's on the back end, there's a fear of kind of looking to that game. Is it fair to say with the way things have been going for you guys the last couple of weeks, you can't really afford to take that mindset?
We're honestly been focusing on Cal. That's been our number one focus all week. We know Stanford will be a tough game on Sunday, but so is Friday's game. And that's the one we're focusing on right now.
You've been in this conference for a while, and as Rob kind of alluded to, that it had been kind of a one-game road trip at times with Stanford and Cal. Mm-hmm. Cal's really improved, though.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of what's been the balance of what you said, kind of focusing on them, but also knowing a big game a couple days
ago? Right. I mean, Cal has done an amazing job of just bringing awesome players to that program. And like you said, it used to be just focused on Stanford. But it's the Pac-12. Every single game is going to be tough. We've seen that this season. We can't take games lightly and have to really punch for a full 40 minutes. Like you can't take little breaks in third quarter and expect to come back and finish, which has been what our problem is we're losing by like 2-3, but those are all possessions that could have been taken earlier in the game. So despite Stanford being a really, really tough competitor, we're focusing on Cal.
She's a tough competitor, Taya Hansen herself. And, you know, I know it sounds like coach speak, and we've all heard Kelly Graves so many times when we ask him for a preview of the entire weekend, and he's like, I don't even know who we play after we play this team. You know, like, coaches say that, but with this team, I think that it's really true, maybe more so than previous years, because just like the men, the stitching two games together over a weekend's been tough for both the men and the women. And I think it's going to be about finishing off an entire weekend this weekend. 7 o'clock tonight, Terry Johns has the call, 6:30 pregame. I'll talk to you at 4:30 tomorrow from Matthew Knight Arena. Updates on that pregame with Infali Dante. And you know what? I'm headed to baseball practice. Have a good weekend.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. With honest conversations that let them know what we expect. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be shared with friends or family. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. We all make choices about alcohol. Kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad. Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, remind me about that party again.
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations, and they want honest answers in everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear you. Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Meet Ed, movie buff, animal lover, safe driver.
5 years of driving an ambulance teaches you a thing or two. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. When I see a car trying to rush past a turning bus, I get concerned. You see, when big vehicles turn right, they have to swing wide to make the turn. And that's a lesson you don't want to learn the hard way. When trucks and buses turn, let's you and I wait.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
I've been driving trucks for a long time. Safety is my number one priority. I know that my truck has huge blind spots. That's why I remember to check my mirrors often for smaller vehicles. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're behind the wheel, try to avoid lingering in those blind spots. It can be dangerous. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
You've been listening to Doc Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.